Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have four rounds of the magazine. I'm Ron Burgundy. I fucking wrote it. I don't know. Round number one. Kate officially has given birth, so she's going to be out for a while, but fret not, because since she's not here, we're going to talk about dicks more. I love it. Round number two. It's once again time to update the safety brief. A father in San Diego is arrested after bringing his two-year-old daughter into an exhibit at the zoo. Elephants. You don't bring your child. Kate, if you're listening, don't do this. Don't take your kid, brand new baby boy, straight to the Brooklyn Zoo and just throw him overboard. We saw what happened to our guy Harambe the last time that happened. Luckily, no elephants were shot or anything like that. But the dad was arrested after nearly getting his daughter killed by an elephant. Round number three, the Green Berets are being sent on a new mission to take on some pieces of shit who were recently given the terrorist designation, and they big time deserve to be treated like Rocco from Boondock Saints and say something like, "We should kill everyone." Round number four, we hated the events of January 6th as much as everyone. A Marine turned congressman has some ideas for those veterans who were involved. We're going to see if we agree with him or not. And that him in this scenario is Ruben Gallego. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in round number four. And all that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Rocky Boots. If you haven't got Rocky Boots yet, you need to get some Rocky Boots, because I've been stomping all over the place doing all kinds. I feel like a chicken with my head cut off lately, like just going back and forth and being a project manager. I tell you what, I would not want to be a foreman on any type of construction sites on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Because you have to deal with those workers. You have to deal with the clients. That job would be a fucking nightmare, man. Nightmare.
Yeah. A lot of downside to that. But I guess you really love the work. But
I don't know
much.
If you can.
Yeah.
I mean, like, project managing, I think it's a job that you do because you make pretty good money if you're good at it. Like, it can be very lucrative. There's no way anybody enjoys that. You just can't.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, I feel very fortunate that I have a job that a lot of people would enjoy to do. But there's so many jobs out there where if you weren't getting paid well, there's no shot you do that. Like, I think brain surgeon, for example. You want to be a brain surgeon? I think that's a job people would do for fun. Like, if you had that skill. Very stressful, but very rewarding.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good example, but that is definitely scary when you're talking about touching people's brains.
Oh, yeah. It's scary and, like, intense for sure, being a brain surgeon. But you get something out of it. As a project manager or, like, a foreman or something, what do you get out of it?
I guess you get this
went off great.
Yeah, no, I guess you get the rewarding feel of seeing a project when it's complete, like a home that's finished or something of that nature.
You're basically, like, the S3 or the S4. That's what you are right now. That's all you are S3 right now, chaps.
Trust me, I was the S3. It sucks.
Me?
Yeah.
Because it's the truth.
That's so fucked up. Khans is the only one here that I think actually worked in the S3.
Yeah, I did, and it was horrible.
Yeah, I imagine so. It'd be fucking terrible. But what's not terrible is our friends at Rocky Boots. They have great boots. Not only boots, but like the jackets, the shirts, all kinds of stuff that they have is fantastic. Make sure you go to Rocky Boots. Enter the promo code ZBT at checkout for 25% off. Oh, they sent some boots that are children's size boots. They sent two pairs of kids' boots. One of them came to McCartney. The other one was a little bit too small. So it went to one of McCartney's pals. And this little girl is a fireball, like straight up fireball. She got the ones, they have like little kid boots that have a little strip of the metal, you know, like around it where it's almost like steel toe, but it's not really. It's like shit kickers, like it's for fake steel toe boots. She doesn't care. She believes that she has steel-toed boots and is like running around kicking bricks, kicking cinder blocks. She grabbed her mom's sledgehammer and went to town on some bricks in the backyard where we're in Rocky boots. But luckily, the bricks are all fucked up, but her toes are all straight because she is wearing some Rocky boots. You should too, because you're going to get it for 25% off if you go to rockyboots.com. Enter the promo code ZBT. They're a big-time sponsor here of Zero Block 30, and we love their products and love the company. They're doing good things. Let's get started with the show. You might notice you don't hear during the rounds Kate going
or breathing heavily
like when I'm saying certain things. That's because she actually had her baby. We're gonna talk about that. She is back. I think she is probably officially at this time, it's coming out on Tuesday, she should definitely be at home with the baby.
Oh yeah.
And I was telling Cons before Kyle popped into the old Zoom, that shit, the first day you bring your little human into the house is terrifying. It is.
Yes.
I legitimately was less scared looking for IDs than I was the first time a child was brought into my home.
At what, does it just dissipate at some point where you just stop thinking about it constantly? That, oh my gosh, I'm going to hurt this child.
Yeah.
I think when you get to the place where you can put them in the tub, like you get them bathed up, like the first bath, and you don't drop them when they're all slippery like a bar of soap. Because something about baby skin, you would think after being like just in straight liquid for like 9 months that they'd be a wrinkly little fingertip. They're slippery. Those are slippery little fucks, those little babies.
Slippery little suckers.
Uh-huh. You have that. So the first time you give them a bath and you don't kill them in the bathtub, that's a good sign.
Yep.
When you are driving and you're once again going the speed limit, that's a good sign. Because getting them in the car seat, being in there with mom in the car seat, and because usually mom obviously has had some pain going on in her body and she's not fully recovered. Now they'll kick your ass out of the hospital at like 48 hours or less. Like they don't give a fuck. They're like, get out of here.
Yeah, I would think though, wouldn't you want to be home as fast as you can? I don't think anyone likes staying in hospitals.
You do, because it's like nobody gets any good sleep. Mom doesn't get any good sleep. Dad doesn't get any good sleep because you always have like the nurses and doctors coming in and doing their rounds. Like Kate said that she had to share with somebody else, like a room with somebody else. So their nurse and doctor have to come in and check on them every now and then. So it's just constantly people coming in. You want to be back at home, but it's the moment that you walk in that door, you don't have fucking Nurse Derek or Nurse Debbie that is right around the corner that can help you do something.
Yeah, there's no
like button. They're not taking them to the baby room and putting them on the little incubator thing and letting them warm up like they're a baby chicken. Like they're not doing that anymore. You're at home. It's all on you. Everything.
What was the hardest part for you guys doing for the first time on your own without the help of a nurse?
Well, I mean, there's so many things, like, because, one, I'm incompetent in a lot of ways, so, like, I'm trying to be helpful to my wife, but also not having the, like, good instincts on how to do it, and what they actually need versus what you're doing is two totally different things, and everybody's so stressed, and you're trying to do the best job that you can, but inevitably you're going to fail. For me, I was still like in the height of my real anger phase, like when McCartney was born. So I was probably a dick, like way too often, like snappy. Like if she was feeling emotional, I would snap back. I should not have done that, like at all. So that's my biggest advice to new dads. Let wifey yell at you all she wants to. Don't say anything back, you fucking dumbass. Like, if I could go talk to myself again now, I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, this is your second time doing this shit. Like, what's wrong with you? How are you still so stupid?
Yeah. What about you, Kyle?
Mine was just getting into a routine. You know, I'm a creature of routine. I try to keep to the same thing. And babies don't give a fuck about your routine. Mm-hmm. They're really selfish, to be completely honest.
They really are. Yeah. People don't say that enough.
Yeah, babies are selfish.
So but they want just all of your time and attention.
They do. It's ridiculous. And they can't even feed themselves. They're also incompetent, just like Chaps. but yeah, and so the routine, but also, like Chaps said, you just never pass up an opportunity to shut the fuck up. Just take them. your wife.
Just
your,
essentially
your baby
just
mama.
Act like you're a brand new private again.
Yeah,
and there's like a sergeant first class or a master chief or somebody in the room that's just yelling at you. You just got to fucking take it. You can't sing. Just stand there at pray and rest and shut your mouth.
Bingo.
Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong. In the words of President Bartlett, just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong. That's all you should do. But we're going to move on to a little bit of the stories of the day. First up, round number one. Kate is gone, so we're going to talk a little bit about dicks, because we haven't had... It's kind of like, we're back in the man's...
Finally.
Honest
gosh.
Yeah, toxic veterans, just three white dudes just being toxic as shit, about to talk about some dicks. This story is making its news, because it turns out that pollution not only is just affecting the Earth and, like, global warming and all that climate change, but it's also affecting the size of our dicks, because environmental pollution isn't having a terrible effect on our lungs. Its impact can be felt in every area of our health, including our reproductive systems. Dr. Shanna Swan, an environmental and reproductive epidemiologist at Incheon School of Medicine in Mount Sinai, New York, reveals in her new book Countdown that not only are fertility rates dropping as human beings, but men's penis sizes are shrinking due to the chemical damage we've inflicted on the planet. This is how you get people on board.
I was just going to say the exact same sentiment. This is how you get people to perk up and pay attention to what you're doing and not
pollute
like the world.
Tides, we're going to completely crush all the real estate on the coast. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, those are elitist fucks anyway that are living on the coast. We don't care about them. We need to go back to our own shit. But if you tell somebody, you even go to Tucker Carlson, and you're like, hey, Tucker, dude, your great-grandson, he's going to have a little micropene. His little dick's gonna be like a baby carrot if we don't roll back some of these protections. That's what we need to be doing. So here, she broke it down into six different ways, which is, I mean, honest to God, this being somebody's field of study is baffling. Because think about, my wife just finished her doctoral degree in public health. You have to find a level of research or something to research that nobody's really talked about before, or like talk about it in a new way. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing.
No, we've discovered everything. I guess that's pretty a naive statement, though, actually. I only think we've discovered everything because there's things that have yet to be discovered.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there is some things still to be discovered out there. I mean, there's only been like six people that's gone to the actual bottom of the ocean. So there's probably plenty of stuff that are going on around there. But with these dudes, like whenever you're talking about this type of study, it must take them just months of just Google searching, like just the most random word combinations, like Mad Libs, to see if anything comes up.
Right, right. But you know what's great about doing something like this and being the first? Nobody can tell you you're wrong.
So yeah, it's just guesses.
I have to take everything here on this sheet that this woman said, this doctor, I have to take it as gospel, because
it's like Einstein.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason why the fancy scientists invented the word hypothesis, because it doesn't sound nearly as important if you say, oh, this is my guess.
Yeah.
That's all a hypothesis is. I'm smart and this is my guess.
Yeah.
That's
it. I mean, that's essentially the premise of ZBT. Like, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
No. I apologize.
Number one. Pollution is disrupting and in some cases destroying our hormone balance. The chemicals responsible for disrupting these important hormones are found in everyday items, including plastic containers, cleaning products, electronics, body care products such as shampoo and skincare, and more. There are even PFAs, known as forever chemicals, that literally never degrade and just continue to amass in your body, causing irreparable harm.
That sounds scary.
So
like there's just a whole bunch of stuff in my body that's just not going away.
Are there any chemicals that we can throw into the environment that will reverse this? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, there's got to be something.
Maybe we just start...
Like, you know, what somebody should really work on inventing is essentially the ozone version of OxyClean.
Yeah.
Where you just get Billy Mays out there that you shoot a rocket into the ozone layer. It explodes with OxyClean. I've seen what OxyClean does to like a wine stain. You're telling me that it can't repair, like you do maybe an OxyClean Flex Seal Hybrid where you, it's just all those little holes in the ozone layer cleaned up by the OxyClean, and then you have like a flubber type material that's just nothing but Flex Seal, and that cures the holes.
You take that ozone layer out on the lake.
Yes. Uh-huh. There's a job I would take. What do you do for a living? I clean the ozone.
Yeah.
I'm helping the world. I clean this ozone. That's pretty cool.
That would be a good one to have. I mean, I think everybody would appreciate it, especially if you're keeping everybody's dicks big. This is a serious emergency, she goes on to say. One important and devastating fact that Swan points out in her book is that sperm levels have dropped 60% since 1973. That's an average of 1.25% drop per year, which is scary. If we continue on this path, sperm levels could be non-existent by 2045.
That's around the corner. Only,
I mean, right. That's nothing. That's 23 years.
Yeah.
We're going to get some Brave New World type stuff going on. I'm pumped. Let's make those test tube babies.
But you don't have to have a vasectomy.
That's true. That's
a good point.
Yeah. And I've had one. It was not a good time. The third one. Women are especially affected by this. It's not just men that are seeing lower fertility rates. Women are also suffering. Considering that women have much smaller window in which they can have children in the first place, this is even more concerning. In some parts of the world, the average 20-something woman today is less fertile than her grandmother was at 35. The current state of reproductive affairs can't continue much longer without threatening human survival. So the women are getting less. The men are getting less. We're Kate and Pat. Lucky.
Final frontier type stuff right there with them.
That might be the last baby born in the United States.
Seriously.
It really could be. Number four, even men's penis sizes are changing. Because of the chemicals, men's penis sizes are shrinking across the board as well as the volume of the testes. All right. So smaller ball, smaller dick. While this may be more of the vanity issue than a practical one, the fact that human physiology is being irrevocably altered by environmental pollution is a serious concern, and it's unbelievable that more isn't done to stop it. I think that if this news got out and it really is saying that your testicles and your dick are going to shrink if we don't stop eating with plastic forks, people would really change their tune.
People would be rioting in the streets if they knew that these were the things that were really happening to them when they got takeout and ate with that plastic fork.
Nobody's as horny, too. Point number five is that people aren't as horny as they used to be. And number six, more legislation is needed to help curb these serious issues. No, I would love – who do you want to see step out on the floor of the Senate or the House and start talking about the dangers of climate change and the testicle-penis correlation there within?
It's got to be Ted Cruz, right?
I don't know. I'm going with he's Pelosi. Got a little dick anyways.
I want Pelosi out there. I want her to say balls.
Like, look, I'm not getting taken to slam town anymore.
I mean, it does make sense. Like, you think about it, you look around. How many friends of yours come from families of like 5, 6, 7 kids? Basically, doesn't exist anymore.
I also think out. Like now we have things like birth control, where like 50 years ago they didn't have that stuff. You know, so, and
yeah, imagine coming up to like your great grandfather or like great great grandfather after World War II. You're like, hey, Papa, you got to throw a condom on that old pecker before you give grandma the business.
Yeah, except then it was prophylactics. Who wants to say that word a bunch?
That's just a scary word to say. Yeah.
Have you guys ever, I need to say something about since we're in the trust tree about reproductive stuff.
Yes.
I've never seen a dental dam in real life.
I don't think I have.
Neither have I.
All right. I don't even know how they work. I, honest to God, you can throw one at my door right now, and if I went outside and picked it up, I'd have no idea what I was holding.
Me neither.
Go ahead and send all pictures to our Twitter account. Just tag us. Dental dams.
I'm going to look it up right now to see what it
looks like. Oh, no. Great.
Dental dam.
This is great podcasting.
All right. Dental dam. Oh. It looks kind of like a beanbag that just goes over. Yeah, it looks like a kind of looks like a mask. Like you're just wearing a mask where you can see your teeth.
I'm not going to be able to put this in either.
I'm not looking at cunnilingus ones. I was just looking at stuff where they're actually when you're at the dentist.
Okay, maybe we should move on.
Dental dam for women. Oh, here we go. Let's see what we got here. Oh, I got Safe Search on. Oh, that makes, yep, there it is. Mm-hmm.
What's Safe Search?
It blocks like adult images and stuff.
Ah.
Yeah,
my kids use my computer sometimes.
Oh, that's
important. Not good. If you haven't seen a dental dam, you might want to check those out. All right, let's move on to round number two. Round number two, there's this father who is facing a felony cruelty charge for bringing his two-year-old daughter into an elephant habitat in the San Diego Zoo. Now, first up, we have to play the game. Is this guy active duty, veteran, or not military affiliated?
I was going to say veteran.
It's San Diego.
I'm saying he's active duty, and he's using that free pass to the San Diego Zoo.
It doesn't actually say, so I don't have an answer. A father is facing a child cruelty charge for allegedly bringing his two-year-old daughter into the elephant habitat at the San Diego Zoo. Police say an elephant became upset after seeing the man identified by police as Jose Navarrete at the child and the child in its habitat. I'd imagine so, man. Like, people think that because they've seen Dumbo or they've ridden one at, like, a old school circus, that elephants are, like, these gentle creatures.
No.
An elephant will fucking kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They stomp you to death.
They definitely do. Where do you guys stand on zoos just in general?
Oh, that's tough. Because I love going to Disney World, like taking the squad to Disney World. They have their, not Animal Planet, what the fuck is it? Wild Kingdom, I think it's called. And so we go there, and you see some of the animals I think are fine, like in a spot like that. It kills me to see tigers and lions and things like that, like the big cats that normally roam tens of miles, like in a week, like in their territory. These lions that are at Disney World, they sit essentially on their own little version of Pride Rock, and they don't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's sad. That's a bummer.
There's also this elephant at the San Antonio Zoo that has been in this zoo for like 40 years. Been in the zoo.
How long do elephants live?
They can live to like 60, I think. But this particular elephant, its house, like its area, is no bigger than like a high school basketball gym. Oof. Like, it's so small, and they usually will travel for miles too. And even worse, elephants are such social creatures. This one has been by itself for like 35 years.
That,
like, essentially elephant solitary confinement.
He's probably so depressed.
Oh yeah,
that's terrible.
I try to go when I go there. I'm like, hey, if you want to grab a beer, I'll go get one.
You want to get a beer and talk about this?
I imagine it would break down. Like, if you started talking to an elephant that's been in captivity and like in a little spot for 40 years, and it was like, man, let me tell you about this. People keep throwing me peanuts. I don't even like peanuts.
Probably allergic.
Yeah.
Maybe. What if you're a peanut allergy elephant?
These people are trying to kill me all day. Throwing peanuts at me.
I'm just picturing Chaps and this elephant sitting at the bar drinking a beer, and all of a sudden the elephant
doing
starts
sigs
to,
inside.
Sigs inside. The elephant starts to break down and cry. And Chaps says, "What's wrong? You just miss home or something?" He's like, "No, I'm just happy that somebody cares."
Yeah, I do care. I care about that old Dumbo. I care about him big time. But this fella, Jose, did not. The police said, this afternoon, March 19th of 2021, two guests, despite multiple barriers, purposely and illegally trespassed into the habitat, which is home to our Asian and African elephants. San Diego Zoo security promptly responded to that incident, but both of the guests had already exited the habitat. Both the elephants and the guests are unharmed. San Diego Police Department is on site and will follow through with their guidance. When reports of the incident first surfaced, one of the police officers with the San Diego Police Department said that the elephant appeared as if it wanted to charge the father and the toddler, but a witness described a scarier situation. This dude named Matthew, outstanding name, it only took him about 30 seconds for the elephant to notice Navarrete. And a lot of people froze and didn't know really what to do. Then immediately everyone was pleading with him and became frantic and hysterical. Yeah. Like, you see a kid in an elephant cage. It's like, do you remember that video that went viral? And it was this dude that had his son, and they were like in alligator infested swamp. And like he was, do you know what video I'm talking about? It's like this, it's an old viral clip. This dude like lost it, and he's holding his kid in this alligator infested like swamp pond in Louisiana. Hmm. And the cops are like pleading with the dude, like, cause the baby's head is like just barely above the water.
Yeah, now I remember it. Yes.
And they're like going and like you feel, cause what can you possibly do? Like if you're Rick on the little barrier, you can't hop in there with Dumbo and be like, hey, relax. Like you haven't even had that beer yet. You don't have that type of relationship to tell him how he should feel with intruders in his home.
Right. He's going to say, get out of my house. I don't need you here.
So
your peanuts with you.
So they had to get him out, and they said it was a big uproar. The elephant stuck its head up in the air and its tusks and started trotting towards them. I cannot imagine. I think that's the scariest animal. I mean, maybe a hippo would be more.
Mm-hmm.
Lions and stuff, obviously. But an elephant coming at you, how do you move?
You got no shot.
They're so fast, too. Like, you can't. When I went with Kate's baby's daddy now, when we went and wrestled those little cows, this cow that I wrestled was like 18 months old, girl cow, not even a bull. And this thing gave me the deepest bruise I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
Like when this little cow like put its head and straight into my thigh, it was deep black and blue and yellow for like 2 weeks. Yeah. And that's a little cow. This is not a full-blown elephant.
Who would have thought wild animals have impressive amounts of strength?
However, I did put that little calf into a unbelievable rear naked choke.
Yeah, you did. Good for you.
So if you guys were to trespass into any animal enclosure in the zoo, what would it be?
Oh, without question, it'd be the sloths. I would love to hang out with some sloths.
That's a good one.
That would be a good one. Gosh, I wonder which ones would be the nicest to you. Like,
I would also want to be around one of those. I forget what animal it is, but they poop squares.
What?
Oh yeah. You haven't seen? Yeah, I've written a blog or two about it. And there's these little animals, and their buttholes have evolved where they will poop squares, and they do it like the evolutionary scientists say that they do it. It's almost like poop marking your territories because they live in such round rock areas that they started to shit squares so that it won't roll off. So when other of these animals come, they're like, oh, somebody already lives here. This is Frank's house.
That's interesting.
That'd be a fun shape to poop, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they went on to say that this guy got arrested and his bail is pretty $100,000 is the bail.
It's like wow.
So this dude's, and he's only 25 years old.
Yeah.
So in order, like if you've never done like cash bond stuff, you have to pay 10%. So if his bail is set at $100,000, in order to get out on bond, he has to pay 10 grand.
Hmm.
Cash.
That's a good amount.
That's a hefty amount of money.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
I need to know more from this guy, though. I need to know why he went in there in the first place. Was he just trying to get a closer look? He thought he was being a good father? What was his deal?
If he's anything like me and he was doing things that he shouldn't be at the zoo, he's probably spiked his own Dole Whips that he had out there.
Mm. Oh, Kyle, I think I would want to go in with the bears.
The bears?
They would be nice to me, maybe.
Oh, no. Bears, you're dead.
I think
any animal, you're dead.
No, I'm not dead with the sloth.
Yeah.
The sloth's not going to kill me.
It'd be the slowest murder in history.
If I got killed by a sloth, I deserve it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Okay. But, bears, I'd take my chances with bears because, I mean, it's a risk-reward. You could be mauled to death or you could chill with some pretty awesome bears.
All right, let's make this bear contest a little bit more even. So let's say I took this bear to the vet first and treated it like it was a cat and got it declawed. I got the bear declawed and detoothed, do you think, let's say a full-blown grizzly bear, do you think you could take it in a fight?
No. No.
With
shot.
No claws and no teeth.
Yeah, not but I don't. I just have my myself. I don't have any weapon. No shot.
You got those giant paws. Just one, yeah, even man. Without claws, you're knocked out. They'll snap your neck.
Oh, no, I think I could take it. I think without claws, I mean, I don't know what the pressure a bear has in its bite.
Probably significant.
I don't think it's that much.
Oh, get out of here, dude.
I think it's enough. I think it's definitely enough.
You declaw a bear and it doesn't have teeth. I'd take that fight. Like that, when Dana Beers was going to do that one fight for $100,000, if Dave said, "Chaps, you have to fight this full-grown grizzly bear, no teeth, no nails. If you can last 3 minutes, then you get the money."
Like, I split do 3 decision. Minutes.
All you have to do is split decision against the bear. I feel like I could come in. Bears aren't used to body shots, first of all. I would be working that fucking kidney so much.
Head body.
Know exactly where a bear's kidney is, but that's some stuff I would do in the pre-fight training.
Okay. All right. If we're talking $100,000 for 3 minutes, I might take that. I might do that too.
I mean, but that ring is small. I wouldn't want to go with the regular boxing ring. I would request respectfully, of course. I would respectfully request that we do it in an octagon.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can climb the fence and like use it as leverage.
Yeah, I would do a lot of Superman punches off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would fight a lion that's been detoothed and clawed 100%.
Oh, you'd have even better shot against a lion than a bear.
I fucking Simba that thing.
You know what I wouldn't fight? I would never fight a moose.
No.
Why?
Oh.
Just that head, man. Like, those heads are so thick on a moose.
Yeah.
Good luck. You're never going to knock out a moose. I think you can – you really give a bear the what for, I think that you could you could give him a run for his money for sure.
All right.
Let's move on to round number three. Oh, stupid. Round number three, it's going to be brought to you by our good friends at Dynism Lab. So if you want to fight a bear and you feel like, hey, normally I feel like back in my day, I probably could have done this, but right now my beard's looking kind of weak. I'm not sure if I have low T. You need to go find the Man the F Up product that we're about to tell you about, because this stuff, it'll make your beard thick. I get that question so often from people who want to have a beard. How do you get it thick? I don't know. That's why I'm trying this stuff out, because my beard is still pretty pubey from time to time. That's why I have to cut it. I'm going to try this stuff and see if it makes my beard grow thicker. I feel like I'm... You asked me two weeks ago before I started taking this stuff, if I would have fought a bear with no teeth and no nails, my answer would have been no. I feel like this stuff has shot my teeth up to a whole new level.
Clearly,
And if you want to try it out, go to mantfupnow.com/0. Use the promo code Barstool20 on Amazon if you want to go there. Use the promo code 0 if you're going to their straight up website, which is, again, that's Man Tango Foxtrot U Up. Or nope, I fucked that up. It's mantfupnow.com/0. You're going to get 20% off, which is a great deal. Go try it out. It's pretty awesome stuff. They have all kinds of different like supplements and shit like that that you could use the promo code for as well. Go try it out. Round number three. This one is... It's actually a military story. Credit to us. We are actually going to talk about some military stuff today, because I feel like Green Berets right now, there's been a, like, Special Forces being in the news. When you see Special Forces, you see Green Beret, you see SEAL, and it pops up on like one of the military websites, right now you're kind of like, ugh, what they do this time?
Right.
Like, what kind of crazy ass bar did they have on the top of the building that they're in right now? But that's not what's going on here, because the elite Green Berets have been deployed to help defeat the Islamic State insurgents accused of beheading children as young as 11 in Cabo Delgado, Mozambique. U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers are to train Mozambican Marines for the next 2 months to counter the rapidly escalating insurgency from ISIS-linked terrorist group Al-Shabaab. Now, we've talked about Al-Shabaab before. Two totally different Al-Shabaabs. There's the Al-Shabaab that's in like northern Iraq, and then there's the, or not northern Iraq, northern Africa, and then you have this other one that just popped up. And actually, they were just given the old terrorist designated by the U.S. They even though they've been doing since 2018. They claim their first attack in June 2019. Mozambique and Southern Africa represents the worrying spread of Islamic insurgency on the continent. Other nations facing ISIS-linked violence include Somalia, Nigeria, Niger, Mali, and Libya. The deployment of the Green Berets is to prevent the spread of terrorism and violent extremism, the U.S. Embassy in Mozambique said. The situation in the northernmost province of Cabo Delgado, which began in 2017, became even more urgent last year. Up to 3,500 fighters regularly engaging with military to capture key towns. At least 2,000 civilians have been killed, according to the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project, and 670,000, I'm not going to pull a Kate there, 670,000 have been displaced, save the children added. Around 1 million people are also in need of food and aid. Children as young as 11 years old have been executed, according to the Save the Children that has spoken to displaced families. I mean, these stories, some of which that they talk about in this article as it goes on, it feels like this should not be happening anywhere in the world. And I know that's like a no shit statement, but when you hear stories about this type of thing happening, it really is like a wake up call. Like, shit is bad in a lot of places. And I think that a lot of times as Americans, we do look, well, at least it's not like that. True. But we got a lot of shit going on here, like where we could help kids a lot. I mean, I was looking at the data from San Antonio. Follow it. There is, like, in San Antonio, 70% of the children who are in the San Antonio school system are food insecure.
That's 70%. Wild to me. That's wild. You just don't think about that in this country, that people are worried about where their next meal is coming from. You just assume, you know, we're all very lucky and grateful for the things that we have, and I don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from. You just get very upset to think that many children are probably going hungry.
Yeah, and I didn't think about it until one of our friends as a social worker was like, yeah, one of the biggest aspects of schools being shut down for this entire pandemic is that kids who are on free or reduced lunch, sometimes those two meals that they got, breakfast and lunch at school, were the only real meals they had, like, in the day. Like, that's it. It's heartbreaking. And then you have this whole other side of it where you're dealing with terrorism. There's a mother named Elsa who's 28 years old, and she said, it's not her real name, but she told the Save the Children organization, "That night our village was attacked and houses were burned. When it all started, I was at home with my four children. We tried to escape to the woods, but they took my eldest son and beheaded him. We couldn't do anything because we would have been killed too."
Jeez.
I mean, how do you recover from that? Like, as a parent, I do not know, like, what you could possibly do to ever have, like, a semblance of a happy life if something like that happened to one of your kids. I just don't know how. I know personally I would never be able to recover. Never.
No. There's you're always going to think, what could I have done different? Mm-hmm. Could I have saved him? Man, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah, and so they go on to say, impoverished Mozambique and Southern Africa has been relying on foreign mercenaries, mainly from South Africa, who have been accused of human rights abuses. An Amnesty International report found that both sides committed war crimes, with government forces responsible for abuses against civilians, something it has denied. Cabo Delgado has a population of 2.3 million, most of whom are Muslim, and is one of the poorest provinces in Mozambique, with a high illiteracy rate and unemployment rates, according to the BBC. It has found ready recruits among the unemployed young people from the area, Al Jazeera reported. Although a ruby deposit and gas field were discovered in Cabo Delgado in 2009 and 2010, creating dreams of a better life for locals, they were soon undermined by the violence of and extreme flooding. And that is, like, the case in a lot of these war-torn areas, like, where you don't have literacy, you don't have, like, a functioning economy, and next thing you know, people who are starving will do anything. Like, that's why, like, so many of the inner cities have such high crimes, because you have to eat. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the best way to get money in your in your pocket is doing something illegal. Like, that's the way that it just works. And so these people having to deal with this and really it's flat under the radar. I mean, this has been happening for 3 years. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. Have you, you
no,
guys too?
I haven't heard it. Yeah, yeah. No, this is
just
first
in
I've
general,
heard it
you always hear about Africa and how bad it is in places.
And Africa is like in the West, like American culture is such like a blanket statement about right. Even though it's enormous. Like Africa yeah, is huge.
It's a continent.
And we think of it as like one spot, you know, it's like, oh, yeah. Africa. Like, oh, you know my buddy Brian? He lived in Africa for a little while. Like, oh, no, he lived like fucking 5,000 miles away from me.
Yeah.
No, no, I don't know.
There are a lot, so many stereotypes and misconceptions about Africa that we definitely do just lump it all together and don't give it much more thought beyond that. So, but good on the Green Berets that they're helping these people. And
yeah. And I think that that is the I'm so tired of doing like any type of military actions for like the security of oil, the security of like economies and things like that. This is the type of shit I have zero problem with us getting involved in. Yeah. If you have the ability to stop it and you don't, you're complicit, in my opinion.
Well, it seems like we have our military, the United States, and just the West, quote unquote, in general. Everyone has the capabilities to put an end to this stuff. But like you said, there's, I mean, besides, you know, doing good things, what's the motivation? There's not very much money.
And there's so many bad shit all over the world like it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? I mean, it's like, I hate to use this example, but we get sent GoFundMes all the time.
Yeah.
Like about different issues. We can't do that. Like we can't like talk about every single GoFundMe that we get, because then that's all we would ever do. Yeah. Like is constantly doing that. And I think that using the American military like that can be a slippery slope at times, but I hope that they go in there and they fuck up every single person that both Al-Shabaabs. I hope both Al-Shabaabs get a couple of big old rockets straight up their little dick holes that are smaller because of pollution. Let's move on to round number four. This one is a little, this is a surprising take. And I will say that Ruben Gallego having this take is, it's kind of ballsy, considering the fact that he is a Marine as well. If you want to get a good bag, make sure you go to canIProGear.com. CanIProGear makes the finest backpacks in the world, and no one comes close. From assault packs to easygoing everyday carry bags, CanI has a pack or a bag to fit everybody's needs, any situation you may find yourself in. Even if you're going in the middle of March to your new fancy boy pool, and you have to put in all your kids' life jackets and all kinds of sunscreen and all kinds of shit like that, you can do that with Can I Pro Gear. I would have been, I bet if I, Staff Sergeant me could have seen me now, I'd have been like, what are you doing with fucking goldfish snacks in your assault pack, you fucking loser? Get a normal bag. I won't. I'll never get a normal bag because this one's so good. I could fill this thing, overload it with goldfish crackers, and it'll never crack. That's my promise to the listener. If you, Kate, you should be using them as a diaper bag, yeah. Honestly.
Ooh, that's a great point.
What would you do if Kate came back to work? She had a Canine Pro Gear thing that was filled up with like formula or breast milk or whatever she chooses to feed her child, and it has like a Camelback, and the baby
that
just stuck it on.
That would be amazing.
That would
love that.
You could do that too. You could fix a nipple onto it. Oh hell yeah!
Oh yeah,
Kate, I know you're listening.
Wow. Timeout. Did we just invent a multi-million-dollar company?
No, because they have all kinds of like military diaper bags, and people that use those things are losers. With a capital L. You had one, didn't you, Kyle?
No.
Did you?
No.
Oh, yeah, you did. I saw it in your face. You definitely did.
We had an Eddie Power.
But if you want to try to fabricate your own into your own diaper bag, you can do that too. Can I? Backpacks and bags come with a lifetime warranty, and right now they're giving, if you're getting in the U.S., shipping. It's free. Good God. Shipping is free for $75 and above. You can also use Afterpay so you can split it up. Anything over $35 into four easy payments. Go to caniprogear.com. That's C-A-N-N-A-E. What's that? Phonetic alphabet, Kate? That's exactly right. C-A-N-N-A-E Pro Gear. And get yourself the best backpack ever. I have the hiccups, which is unfortunate on an audio podcast. ZBT15 is the promo code there. You're gonna get 15% off. It's a great deal. Check out their Instagram page, canineprogear.com. You're gonna love all of the products they have. Last up, last topic of the day. This one is Ruben Gallego. A Marine turned congressman wants federal officials to deny veterans benefits to any current or former military members involved with the attack on the U.S. Capitol building earlier this year, saying, quote, they no longer deserve the payouts.
Wow.
In letters sent to the VA secretary and attorney general made public on Friday, Ruben Gallego, who's a Democrat from Arizona, said eligibility for education and vocational training should be stripped from those individuals, as well as the disability compensation and the VA health care access. The behavior of those individuals tarnishes the American veteran and service members who have given so much to this country. Yet, many of the veterans and service members who attack their own government actively and enthusiastically enjoy benefits without not available to their fellow citizen. This situation is unjust. Any retiree or service member who stormed the Capitol on January 6th forfeited their moral entitlement to the support the people of the United States. Gallego did not specify whether veterans should be charged or convicted of a crime if they had to lose their benefits. So he didn't say if they had to be like convicted of something in order to do it. And the letter, he encourages officials to, quote, use your discretion to make that decision. Mm. All right. So that is a tough stance to take, especially when you're talking about not being convicted of something, because that is the definition of something that could become a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big time.
I think that's
really dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I agree with his sentiment that, you know, they very
left
much
up to your discretion.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think that's a good
idea. VA's discretion? Dog, they just said that people that had fucking jet fuel in their lungs was not service connected. Like, I don't want anything to be at the hands of the
VA. Yeah, I don't
want
them to make any sorts of decisions about anything for any part of my life.
If you were legitimately convicted of having like of something against the United States, I could see that. Like, mm-hmm. if you, like Bo Burdog, for example, yeah. in my opinion, Bo Burdog deserves nothing as far as military benefits. He doesn't deserve to have like PTSD paid for, like his bad conduct discharged, like taken up to another level. Nothing. You get nothing, like Willy Wonka says.
Good day,
you don't
sir.
Get shit. I think that that's the way it should go for people like this. This is even though I fucking hated it, and we talked about it a lot right after it happened, to me, there has to be a conviction that takes
yes.
place in order yeah. to do that.
Yes.
And I would also say it has to be a conviction amongst your peers, because you can't retroactively take stuff away, like
they've
a benefit
it.
That you earned.
Right.
This isn't given. Like, that's what I hate the term benefit. This is not it is legitimately an entitlement. Like, and people use that word entitlement as like a bad thing. You're entitled to something because you fucking earned it.
Right.
Like, you earned that check. You earned that disability. You earned that retirement. To take it away without a conviction that you did something egregious, to me, is wrong. Now, there is an element that already happens. Did you guys know this? If you're incarcerated for 60 days straight, they take your VA pay.
Yes. I did not know that.
I knew
yes.
that.
Yes. So if you're incarcerated for a period of 60 days or more consecutively, they will take away your VA benefits. So there is something for that, but that has to be a conviction too. If you're just in pre-trial confinement for longer than 60 days, they cannot take that benefit. But once you are in jail for 60 days or longer from a conviction or even a deferred adjudication, they can. That being said, there's got to be hard and fast rules. And I think it's a legit, like, I understand what Ruben's saying. But to me, if you're going to write that, you need to come up with some fucking rules and some stipulations about how it gets implemented, too, because that's your job as a congressman. You can't just be like, you guys, I don't like this. You guys figure it out. Mm-hmm. Come up with the plan, too.
Yeah, so he's basically at the 50-yard line right now. This isn't the end zone yet. I agree with his sentiment that I don't think that those people should get their benefits, but as you said, figure out the rest of it if they were convicted, and then you can go from there, because otherwise then it is I think, a little unjust to just do that willy-nilly.
And that's essentially a military mantra, right? Like, you don't identify a deficiency without a corrective action.
Right. Right.
Like, you have to have the corrective action. So what the deficiency was, 20% of those involved in storming the Capitol on January 6th were military veterans or active duty members. The corrective action is what, Ruben? That's your job. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a legislator. Like, write
some
legislation. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and you can't, and even if they did it, you can't just, like, shit this because it's a good idea and then have it go retroactive. Like, that's not the way laws work. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do that. Yeah, if there was no laws on the book that said you could do that, you can't do it now.
Like, we have amendments that say you cannot do that after the fact. You can't be charged for a crime when you did it, it wasn't a crime.
Right. If that was the case, a lot of people would be super fucked. You just can't do that.
Yeah,
so it doesn't work. I would like to have Rupert. I've offered him to come on the show a bunch of times. He's never gotten back to me. I would like to have Rupert on the show to talk about what he is doing in order to get that. So if you know him, if you're listening and you're on the Hill, get in touch with Ruben Gallego, because I want to talk to him and see what actually could happen with some of this stuff. The article goes on to say whether such punishment is possible is unclear. It's not possible. You can't do it retroactively. You can't just make up rules and have it go into place retroactively. It doesn't work that way. Gallego also asked both agencies to review rules regarding VA officials' ability to revoke benefits. They don't have them. Whether such a move can occur under the administrative action or will require congressional intervention, it would. According to an NPR report earlier this year, about 20% of the individuals that were there were veterans. We already talked about some of that. I hope that they figure this shit out. Something should definitely happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, it's so, like, I hate to use the term disappointing, but the amount, 20%, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one out of every five was a veteran that swore to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemy foreign and domestic, and then you're alongside it?
Yeah. I almost wonder, like, if so many of those people thought, like, you know, I have this right to do this because I served. You know what I mean? That because they served the country?
I would say that everybody that was involved, if there was like a, you know, like a litmus test of pure intentions, I think that a lot of the people that were involved in that, I think that their intentions, they probably think that their intentions were just and good.
Oh, absolutely.
That they were doing a service to the country and that they were standing up for the rights. But to me, that's what happens when you're brainwashed. Like, mm-hmm. I read this article the other day about how, because the military had that huge stand down against the radicalization and extremism in the ranks. And there are so many people that talked about, like, what types of things they look for in somebody to radicalize. It describes a military member to a T.
Is
like,
that, right?
That you are a go-getter, that you're passionate, that you're willing to work hard, that you're not, that you don't always take the easy way out on things, that you're okay with getting some backlash. Every single one of the tenets of what is identified in extremism is identified in a lot of, including myself. Like, we get fucking passionate on this show, and it's easy to see why. Like, these are big time issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is shocking of how many military members are there. I hope something does happen. I hope it's one of those warning shots across the bow, you know, where they say, look, fool me once, we didn't have it on the books. Fool me a second time, we got Ruben. He wrote some legislation about it.
Yep.
And they can still charge him with, like, they're being charged criminally. There's laws against what they did, and they're being charged using those laws. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It seems like if we just start stacking laws up on the books, we're probably just going to have a lot more laws that we won't. Do we really need them? I mean, yeah, like, criminal trespassing is bad, and, you know, fomenting insurrection is bad. But we have laws against that already. We can just use what we have.
But I understand where Ruben is coming from, too. It is, like, whenever you are actively trying to prevent one of the methods that the peaceful transition of power happens, and then you're one of those people that are pulling a $1,800 check from the VA for disability,
yeah.
It's like,
yikes. Yeah, that's yeah. why I agree with him to an extent. But as we say, like he's got to take it all the way into the end zone here, Rubes. Figure it out.
Complete the thought, my friend. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to a little bit of save rounds and alibis. I'll start because I've been going through this shit with this flooring company. Still at it, man. Like still going at it. And this weekend, I went pretty, probably the most aggressive that I've been in a long time. Because it just, incompetence infuriates me. Like it, when you are supposed to be a subject matter expert in your field, you should be a subject matter expert in your field. And I feel if you are a flooring company, especially if you own a flooring company, you should be a subject matter expert on flooring.
I mean, it's not too much to ask.
No, it's not. And so I legitimately the best part about this entire thing is that I met this guy who is a former sergeant first class in the Army. He spent 15 years, got out. He's going back to school, going to UTSA just like I did. He's grinding on the side. Like he's using that app TaskRabbit and being like essentially a handyman. So he's coming over, like he's been coming over to my house doing some little projects alongside me, sometimes with me, sometimes not with me. And he was there, and when I was done talking to this guy, he's like, man, I fucking want to re-enlist. Like, that shit was motivating, like, the way that you're talking to this guy. Because as a company gunnery sergeant, like, one of your main responsibilities is ensure that barracks is in order. And even as, like, a platoon sergeant, like, you go in, a platoon commander, like, you do the same thing. Make sure that your people are living correctly. So the moment that I need to put on those, like, meticulous glasses, I have them in spades, and I am ready to go. When Annalise texts me and she's like, you need to come over here and put on like your company gunny hat whenever you come in and do an inspection of this room, I was like, got it. So I'm going through like essentially like a white glove, but it's just my eyes. And I'm like, this is fucked up. This is fucked up. This is fucked up. This is fucked up. Like legit knife handing going around every single one of the spots. And I take it up to the main company that's involved. And I have probably 30 pictures on my phone of different areas that were messed up. The guy comes up to me that's like the project manager that's there, and he's like, what's the issue? I don't understand the issue. And I was like, okay, motherfucker. Like, I was just so trying to keep my cool, because I still struggle with that from time to time. Once my blood starts to boil, like, I can't, it's so hard for me to hold it back. And I'm just sitting there. Is this a professional job? Do you think this is quality work? Do you think this is... Look me in the fucking face and tell me this is good quality work. Yeah. And I'm just going through it over and over again. Like, is this? This is what you call good? This is what your company... This is what your company believes to be good. Because it was the owner of the company. And he was like, well, no. I'm like, well, then what? Why? And he said, the thing that really got me, he was like, when we did the final walkthrough, you didn't say anything about this. And I looked at him in his face with like the other people there. I'm like, if you are so incompetent that you need a civilian person that paid for this service to teach you how to do your job, I don't have the breath to waste on you, my friend. and like the other guy that was involved was like, yikes.
That's what they think. Like they can, the average public has no idea what it's supposed to look like.
Right.
They're the experts. So they just figure, hey, we'll pass this off as this is it. And they,
dude, if I didn't do long time toolies, I would have no idea.
Exactly.
Because they, like, for instance, there's these quarter rounds that go, if you look at the house that you're in right now, almost guaranteed around the baseboard of your home, there's going to be a quarter round. They had three 90 degree angles meeting at 45 degree angles with a huge gap, like a quarter size gap. And he's like, I'm going to fill that up with caulk.
No,
like, no, you're not.
What?
No. Fucking lazy just thing. You're going to bring out your little miter saw and you're going to cut it to the appropriate angles where they meet. That's what you're going to do.
Jeez. You know, the other thing that's frustrating is, you know, I don't know what this is costing you, but I'm going to guess it's not $20. So the fact that you're spending your hard earned money,
$12,000.
Okay, for these people to tell you what to do, that's a little frustrating.
Yeah, man.
And I told not a little amount.
It's 1,100 square feet, dude, and it's been 14 days.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
That's a lot. That's a lot per square foot. They should be doing a much better job than that.
Right. It's. I mean, it's. I hate to do that, like to go and be like, I'm not fucking paying for this shit. But I only have so much patience. I have text messages that I forwarded the... He told me last Friday, guaranteed to be done tomorrow.
Ooh, you start throwing that guarantee word out, you get yourself in trouble.
We had to move our movers back.
That's annoying.
And that costs money, too. It could.
Yep.
Anyways, it probably didn't in this case, but... Ooh.
Ridiculous. Yeah. All right, what do you guys got?
Connor, what do you got?
So... I have to give Alex so much credit. She's really squared away with a lot of shit. But also, I'm going to give myself some credit, too.
I think that might be the first time you said her name on the podcast.
we've already got our venue locked in. We've been engaged a week. We already got our venue locked in. So we will be getting married on...
Haven't got that text about asking me to officiate. Just waiting.
Well, keep waiting.
You know I'm giving a speech. I'm fucking giving a speech.
Oh, yeah. That's going to happen. Band's going to be in the middle of a freaking song. Excuse me. Sorry. Hold on. I need to say something.
It'll be like that time I went to the Marine Corps ball with Dave.
Yeah.
And the guest of honor was boring, so I gave a speech, too. I realize you got a Medal of Honor in Vietnam, and your shit was boring.
my anniversary will share the same day with Kate's baby's birthday, so that's pretty cool.
Easy for the whole squad to remember. That's
exactly
very true.
Exactly.
Very thoughtful of you.
Yeah, no problem. And then I locked in the band already, too, which is good, so...
Oh, what kind of band are we doing? We doing rock? Are we doing covers?
Oh, they got... I'll send you guys the link. They do everything. It's a 12-piece band. It's,
whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
They're the real deal. The real deal Holyfield. So I'm very excited because I was looking around all over
Scrantonicity?
Yeah, I was going to say...
Scrantonicity?
No.
Police cover songs?
No, but I was looking all over Florida and I was getting so discouraged because we really want a band. And I was just looking at the catalog of songs that all these other bands can do, and I'm just so disappointed.
Cannot wait to do a comparison of your wedding to mine. Cannot wait. Like, the officer enlisted dynamic is just... We had, like, 7 people there at a cabin.
We have more than 7 people, I think. I was just getting so discouraged. And then I changed something up on my search, and the first one that popped up was the band that I found. And I checked out their website, and I fell in love with them. Talked to the guy on the phone a few times already. He's awesome. So pretty excited about that. And then lastly, we were talking about fighting animals and surviving. It reminded me. I was watching the other night Castaway with Tom Hanks. Do you guys think you've had enough training in your life that you could survive in the same scenario that Tom Hanks had?
Absolutely not. No.
I could.
You think so?
I know I could. Yeah.
I think we could as far as like military stuff, I would say definitely not.
Yeah, it's like nothing to do with my time in the Marines.
Right.
Oh, okay.
As a human being.
I would say I'm much more prepared after doing like the long time Thule stuff to like build something and that can make it remotely functionable. If you'd have dropped me, I would have essentially just been living under a stack of palm trees like before.
It's really impressive all the things he ultimately ends up doing. Like the fact that he learns to spearfish the way he does, the boat that he builds, all of that, it's really, really impressive.
And the fact that it's essentially just a documentary. It's real, which is...
Right.
Yeah, that's the craziest part.
Mm-hmm.
Like Top Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kyle, what about you?
You know, I miss Kate. I didn't think I'd say it so quick, but I think we're missing Kate today. Right now.
Yeah. We're going to have to do different things. We wanted to have the first episode just so we could show how bad it is without Kate.
Yeah. Yeah. So all you people saying get rid of Kate, we can't. Uh-huh. We really can't do it.
And yeah, I also want to say, if you wanted to have a guest, we're going to have Max Uriarte. I know we're going to have him. We'll probably have Kinzinger on again. And we're going to have my pal Sean on, who's hilarious. You're going to love him. So if you have somebody else that you want to co-host with us, be a guest co-host, and not like do an interview or anything like that, just go through the topics with us, comment that in the iTunes. And I don't say that just for like the iTunes engagement, which is great, honestly, like for podcasts, it is great. It's the only spot that we're going to be able to see it for a while. Like, yeah. If you do tweets and things like that, we're going to lose it eventually. Like, so if you put it in there, we'll go back through and I'll try to contact some of those folks. Even if it is people that you've heard from interviews and you want to hear them on just like talking regular stuff, I think that that could be fun too. So if you have somebody in mind, let us know who it is.
Can I say, you guys really got to stop vouching for yourselves out there. Not you guys, but like listeners, like, oh, you guys should have me on. I'm not fucking going hilarious.
I'm gonna be here.
Yeah. It's like, no, we're not getting rid of anyone. But like stop saying you should be on the show. That's one way.
I do have a lead on one fella who I heard was pretty funny, and he actually went to the Marine Corps ball with Mia Khalifa.
Oh,
okay.
We'll see. So he might be somebody that I reach out to, something like that. Other than that, we'll be back on fucking Friday. Yeah, we'll be back on Friday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go tweet at Kate. Tell her congratulations for having her baby boy. It's fantastic for her and Pat. We are super
Puma
glad for them.
Excellence Cassidy. Great name.
Great name.
Puma Excellence Cassidy. Yep. A fantastic name. It's going to be a bitch for him to spell when he's in kindergarten, but I think he'll be fine. Maybe he'll want to fight a puma one day. Who knows?
Possibly.
Sound the retreat.